I mentioned last week that we're into a series. We've had 2 weeks of our little series. It's a series that we are calling, well, Di called it, and I think what a great name. She's calling it This Is Us. And through teaching, through stories, through testimonies, we want to take time exploring together the core values that best describe the Vineyard movement, which was the result of a call of God some 30 plus years ago. So another way of putting it is, this is us, is a way of saying this is who we, YVV, are as a church, and it is these things that we aspire to grow in as followers of Jesus. I want to hasten to say we're not following these values in order of importance. If we were, I think we would have started with worship. It's our highest calling, but we will come to that. Another thing I'll say is we won't necessarily be limiting ourselves to one value per week. Rather, we're holding these values as the backdrop for these next weeks ahead. Maybe six, we'll see how many weeks it becomes. And we simply want to weave them, as it were, into the talk time with teaching, with stories, and with testimony. And so here they are. I like this little button, it worked. Experiencing God through worship, partnering with the Holy Spirit, being a preview community of the kingdom of God, being relevant to those around us, and here we're going to be talking about speaking the language of the street of the generation, and being a people of compassion. Last week, and I certainly took the opportunity because it was Pentecost Sunday, our focus was upon being filled with the Spirit, and that's always a good place for a community of faith to come back to, and I think we need to keep returning to with some regularity. But certainly, as I hope I was conveying last week, certainly we want in our personal walk with Jesus to keep being in a place of, Lord, I stand in need. Fill me again with your Holy Spirit, because I find as I go through life, I get bumped and jostled around and I leak. And so if anybody's going to determine who's Spirit-filled, it's not something for me to claim. It's rather something for others to observe is true or not. Yeah? Because that's the way it was with Luke as he wrote the book of Acts. He was actually saying, there it is. Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said that. That's extraordinary. Peter wouldn't have said that before. Stephen, being filled with the Holy Spirit, did this. Whoa, there it is, Spirit fullness. And that's the way it needs to be, rather than kind of claiming, you know, hey, I had this climactic moment up on the mountain and my experience becomes a big badge. And I'm all for people experiencing the living God. Absolutely, absolutely. But rejoicing in the variety of those experiences, it won't always be the same. Okay? That's just a bit of an aside. That's where we were last week, talking about the need to be filled and go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And God was good. And it was wonderful just to see a whole bunch of people come forward and pray to be filled with the Spirit. And there was demonstrable signs of people being filled. It was being very experiential for some people, but not for everybody. But what I want to encourage everybody who came and asked to be filled with the Spirit, we have a faithful Father, and he filled you with his Holy Spirit. So go anticipating that. Be looking for all the ways in which Holy Spirit fullness is just bubbling out from you. Okay? I want to be clear about that. Well, today, partnering with the Holy Spirit is my topic, my subject. And folks, without apology, I want to spend a bit of time right here, because I think it's going to be important. I actually think having a really good and clear understanding and a theology about the practice of the kingdom is vital to partnering with the Spirit. The Vineyard is founded in the understanding that at the very heart of the gospel lies the kingdom of God. and that power and effective evangelism and discipleship relates directly to our understanding and experience of kingdom reality. The kingdom, you can't go far reading any of the Gospels. The kingdom is clearly at the center of Jesus' teaching. He even uses the term eternal life, saved, and kingdom of God, sometimes synonymously. It's all in there. It's in the vibe. It's absolutely saturated through. I think sometimes what's happened historically is when people have heard kingdom of God, or perhaps they've heard the phrase particularly from Matthew's gospel, because it's always the kingdom of heaven. We understand that was because he was particularly writing to a Jewish audience, and so he didn't use the name of God. But sometimes you go, oh, the kingdom of heaven. That's the thing in the sweet by and by that we're looking forward to, rather than something that is actually something we've stepped into and we become a part of the moment we become a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Yeah? Jesus instructed the disciples to preach the kingdom, a kingdom that would be fulfilled, consummated upon his return, but that had actually come now. Jesus did more than announce a kingdom to come. I want you to hear this. He was the presence of the kingdom. Jesus was the very presence of the kingdom. This age in which we live extends from creation, if I was going to put it down here on this blue line, creation, and it looks forward to the day of the Lord. There's a fulfillment that will come. What we're to understand from the scriptures is that with the coming of Jesus, the age to come, maybe here, there, wherever you want to put it, but the age to come broke into this age, and signs and wonders were Jesus' calling cards, a sure sign that the kingdom that we're anticipating has come. It's broken into history. At the consummation of the kingdom, which we now think about as Jesus' return, we will see all that the reign of God really means, all that it looks like. It will come to its fruition. The kingdom come in all its fullness. So if I was drawing these as lines and I was able to stand it up, I haven't got a whiteboard. I love whiteboards. They're best so old, aren't they? So old hat. But you start there and you've got this line running along here that's looking to something that happens at the end of time, the consummation, the end of the king of the age. Jesus breaks in and it's like we've got another parallel line running along here. And so the people of God then find themselves living in two fields, if you like. We're still in this present age with all the crap, all the bad stuff that keeps coming against us, with the prince of this world railing against us. But at the same time, we've tasted and seen the goodness of God. We've caught a glimpse of. We see the kingdom breaking in and we go, whoa! He's doing it. There he is. He's doing it again. And so we're living in two realms, if you like, two places. We're living between the times, as it were, between, theologians use the word, the inauguration of the kingdom of God in Jesus and the consummation of the kingdom of God, Jesus' return. We live, as George Ladd put it, in actually the title of a book, The Presence of the Future. Yeah? The Presence of the Future. Great book, this. This understanding of the kingdom is important in partnering with the Holy Spirit, since we're called to walk as Jesus did, looking and praying for the kingdom to keep coming now, now, and now. Do it, Lord, is what we want to pray. And that's the importance of the Lord's Prayer. It wasn't our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and oh, your heaven, let it come one day. It's kind of saying, we've discovered in Jesus, you've shown us, you've given us a foretaste, you've given us to see what the kingdom is like and can be like. Oh God, will you do it again? Will you break in here again and again? That's how it's meant to be, I believe. This is how it is, as we're called to walk as Jesus did, looking and praying for the kingdom to keep coming now. So with this understanding, we pray your kingdom come, not as a wistful looking forward to Jesus' return, when everything will be as in heaven. Instead, be it out loud or simply in our hearts, we pray, Father, your kingdom come here, now, in this situation. Would you do it, Lord? This understanding of the kingdom encourages us to anticipate the ongoing inbreaking power of God as normal to our Christian experience, because they are signs of the kingdom coming. I'm stressing this because such moments, such anticipation of the miraculous or of power breaking in, is not founded upon how much faith you've engendered. Because what I've seen happen often is when it's like that, then our focus is upon our faith rather than upon the Lord, do you see? And faith can become a work. Have I mustered up enough yet? And becomes a matter of faith in our faith. And people can be left feeling at fault because they must be lacking in faith because it didn't happen. Faith is involved, but it's a matter of direction, I believe, not its quantity. And it's the faith of obedience, looking to Jesus, doing what he said, preaching the good news, casting out demons, healing the sick, etc., and trusting him to do his part. I've reached this age and stage where I'm saying, oh Lord, thank you for all those moments along the way where you've given me to see your calling cards, the signs of your kingdom breaking in. It keeps encouraging me that, wow, what's in store is more than I could ever begin to imagine. But thank you. Thank you for all of these moments. And in the same breath, I almost want to argue with him and say, Lord, why didn't you heal here? Why didn't you do that there? That's where I just have to give way to the mercy of God, to say it's all his mercy in the first place. And while I might have those questions sitting there, I just want to be ready to give way to say, Lord, I don't get it, but I'm going to keep doing what you said. I'm going to keep pressing in. I'm going to keep looking to you, because this might be a now moment. People, George Eldon Ladd uses the phrase the now and the not yet of the kingdom. And I'm saying, well, it's not yet. It's not yet. But gee, it'd be good if this was a now moment. You know? And that's the way. That's the way we want to encourage each other to keep coming. Keep coming. And say, Lord, your good pleasure. Do it now. Do it now. So I want to say to you, you see, it's not a question. It's never a question of praying long enough and loud enough or with the right formula. We don't need to leave a God. Instead, we want to be confident in the authority that he's given us as sons and daughters to engage with him in seeing the kingdom come and trust in his mercy and goodness for his timing. Yes? Does that make sense? Am I coming through to you? And I'm hoping you're seeing why it's important. I'm labouring this one a bit because I just think having that understanding of a kingdom breaking in, breaking in, breaking in, and that's why it's not all like we would like it to be all at once and done. And it's a mystery to me when I talk about healing and it happened here, but why didn't it happen there? I don't know. I don't know. But he does. And I'm just thankful for all the times he does. And I say, more, Lord, more of your kingdom, because, boy, it encourages us and it builds faith. Good on you for listening all that long. I'm going to give you another voice to listen to just for a moment. Gail, where are you? Would you like to come and give her a hand? I've just asked Gail and a bit later David to just come, and I said to them, could you on this particular Sunday just tell the people a for instance of when you sort of thought, gee, I feel myself partnering with the Holy Spirit?
Sure. When Rob asked me that, my brain did the little, like the pinball machine, where it goes boom, 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 boom. And I wasn't quite sure where I was going to land. But the example that he gave me was a pretty everyday example. So I just felt like that was something that he wanted me to share. Because I feel like I've been on a journey, particularly in the last 12 months, where I feel for me that what's stopped me stepping into and partnering with the Holy Spirit has actually been being comfortable and being confident. So when I'm comfortable and I'm confident, I'm okay on my own, I'm doing everything okay, and this is my life, and you can bless it, Jesus, and you can be part of it, but don't stretch me too far out. And so there's been this journey for me of going, I want more, I want more. I don't want to be contained, and I want more. And part of that journey for me was going, I work in space at my school, because I'm a school chaplain, where I'm the God person, and I'm so limited in terms of what I can share about my faith, in terms of there's so many policies around that. But I just got this hunger in my belly that said, I want more opportunities, Jesus. I want more. I want you to open the door. And what happened for me in that was, there was a couple of things. The one that was so amazing was that I just was literally going, I don't want to be just seen as a nice person. I want to invite people into Jesus. I want them. And so what I would do is, every day I'd just pray for God encounters with kids. And what I was finding was that I had all these opportunities to prophesy over kids. Now, I couldn't use Jesus. I can't use that name. I don't have the freedom to do that. But I could speak life and purpose and destiny over these kids. And I could speak hope, and I could speak... And one thing that schools never, ever told me off for is that every time I see a student... And we often sit in some pretty hard and sad spaces. And so often at the end, the kids will come and they'll give me a hug. And I'll always hold them for a second and just say, bless you. No one, they just think that's a little ism of Gail's. Like, yeah, bless you. But I know, and you all know, the power that holds. And just, have I got one more minute? I'm not good at concise. So I'll just share one thing that's been amazing is that one of my roles is I do a lot of short-term counselling. So we have lots of kids that come in, and we basically do a sort of a triage system where we work out, okay, who's best to look after this particular student? Do we refer out? We're really blessed, and we've got a lot of psychologists that we can use, that we can access their service free. And so there's a lot of kids that we go, they've got high-end needs and we need to refer them out. We've got a duty of care around that sort of stuff. And what's happened this year, as I've said more of for more, is that I've had two kids and one parent who've said to me, we won't see a psychologist, we'll only see you. And I'm going, holy manoli, like this is so outside my experience, this is so outside my... I don't have a PhD. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. But what I've found is that I've got the ultimate counsellor in me, and I've got the ultimate Holy Spirit in me. And so I've had these incredible opportunities with kids, and we've landed in the most amazing places with kids that have had high-end trauma, high-end abuse, that have actually been able to unplug this stuff, not because of my skill set, but because I'm literally... dependent on Jesus going, I can't do this. Holy Spirit, you have to guide me. And it was gorgeous last week. I've got this year 11 girl, and she's determined not to cry. And so we finally got to this spot. The tears came, and she looked at me and she said, how did you do that? How did you get me to that point? And I literally was laughing because I thought, I have no idea. But that's what happens when we partner with the Holy Spirit. He is. It's not us. So when I'm not comfortable, when I'm outside of my comfortable place, when I'm outside of my confidence, he steps in and it's he does amazing things.
That's so good. That's so good. How do you resist when she says, "Can I keep going?" Yes, of course you can. And that's a key, doing what we see the Father doing. It's in John 5, verse 19, where Jesus said that. He said, "I only do what I see the Father doing." And that's my ongoing quest in life, to be saying, "Lord, what are you doing? Where are you going here? Will you give me the eyes to see? Will you give me the discernment to just sense this is what you're about and what you're doing?" In his first letter, John wrote, "Those who profess to follow him must walk as Jesus did." That's one of those life texts that blows me away because, oh, crunch. Oh, Lord, that's a high calling. But here, as followers of Jesus, we want to grow more like him in every way. But for our focus today, we want to follow Jesus in the unwavering commitment he demonstrated in doing only what he saw his Father doing. I've already alluded to the fact that the kingdom of God comes intermittently, according to Father's will. Our job is to be attentive, is to discern, and we pray to know the will of the Father and cooperate with his work, right? Yeah. So partnering with the Holy Spirit can begin with simply taking a film title, seizing the day, taking the opportunities you're given, watching for every way you can to convey the goodness of God. And so we can be bearers of light into dark situations in the most ordinary ways, being generous, showing kindness, exercising hospitality, using what you have in your hands. This is the way God's made you and wired you, operating according to that. Even before you get to gifts of the Holy Spirit, what are the innate gifts that you're carrying and just employing for him? And I want to highlight that too, because that's what it means to be working supernaturally, naturally. Yeah, it's part of it. So for example, as I walk the dog, sorry, got another dog story. But because I can't help myself, I do always greet people. I make a point of that. People are going the other way and, you know, sometimes they're busy with their buds in and sometimes I get no reply at all when that's going on. But, you know, when I'm walking the other way and I'll just say, "G'day, good morning, whatever." And sometimes you still get, even when I haven't got buds in, they're going, I'll say, "Oh, well, that one goes through to the keeper." But more often than not, people will, they'll be a bit startled. They'll reply, "Hello." And sometimes we chat. Dog world's like that. And I know their dogs more than I know them. But for those I've got to know a little, I've had moments of, I think a little bit of Gail was saying, of just moments of being able to speak words of encouragement to people because they begin to say a little bit of what's happening in their world. So I'm saying what I see in them. On occasion, I've been able to pray. That's just a very odd occasion, here or there, where it's turned to that. Can I bless you? What you've just told me? Can I just, you know, I look to God, I believe in God, I follow Jesus, can I bless you? And people go, "Oh yeah." And so we do that. And often it's a finishing with, "Well, bless you and have a great day," and off they go. Nothing extraordinary, yet I believe in these ordinary ways, sowing kingdom seed, partnering with the Holy Spirit, by his grace, I pray, shedding a bit of kingdom light into that situation. And then we can be carriers of the kingdom in extraordinary ways. And a particular area I want to just encourage you in is this. Jesus never prayed for the sick. He didn't. He just healed them. Because that's what Father was doing. Now, it's a good thing for us to pray for sick people. It's a good thing for us to make petitions, to use that funny old word, or from a distance intercede on their behalf. That's a good thing to do. Of course it is. But what I'm pressing myself to do more and more is, if I'm in the company of someone who's sick, then I want my praying to move from praying to ministering. Yeah? There's a difference. And we often so easily fall into, what's the posture we adopt when we pray? We drop our heads, we close our eyes, because that's what we were taught as a little child, close your eyes to pray. So we drop our head, close our eyes, and think of all the best words we could think to say in this moment, and the person could have walked away for all you know. So in the Vineyard, we often talk about learning to pray with your eyes open. Now, I'm not saying I want to stare someone down, but normally if I say, can we pray with you just now? And it might even help you just to close your eyes if they haven't thought to do that already. Most of them just do that, close their eyes. Then I'm watching. I'm watching to pick up, sense in some way what I think Holy Spirit might be doing. And if I'm ready to just pause enough for a moment and say, oh, come Holy Spirit. He's always present, but we use that phrase because we're saying, make your presence known. Come Holy Spirit, will you manifest your presence in some way? And it's often then that you kind of go, oh, I'm just seeing something on this person's face. Or I'm seeing something happening to them a little bit. I'm seeing the peace of God just all over them. And so I'll say so. Sometimes I say, oh, the peace of God's just resting on you. How do I know that? Because I think that's what I'm seeing. So I'll get daring enough to say it, and it's not a bad thing to say. But these are ways in which we can begin to really partner with the Holy Spirit. Because if we'll do that little thing of waiting on the Spirit, practicing the wait, the pause, and then ask God, Lord, what are you doing here? Even the person might say, oh, I've got this horrible pain, you know, it's right here in my hip. The first thing we sometimes want to do is whack a hand on the hip and start praying, and that could right be the thing to do. But sometimes we might get a little bit of a download on, you might get to that, but right now, minister this. And you might find yourself saying, fear, be gone in Jesus' name. You might find yourself, let all confusion, and I'm speaking peace into you right now. And you might get to, of course you will, you'll get to praying for the condition. We'll get there, ministering to the condition. I'm going to keep slipping between those two words, all right? Because we can be asking God to do something, or I believe what begins to happen as we ask the Holy Spirit, you may find yourself speaking to the condition or even to the affected part of the body. And you're sounding now a little more directive. And I go, oh, I think that's what Jesus did. He sometimes laid a hand, or just as a word, he spoke it. And we fear a little bit being presumptuous, don't we? Oh, well, Jesus could say that. After all, he was Jesus. But Jesus on earth didn't say that because he was God. He said it as God who'd laid aside all his glory and was a man. Oh, and a woman, you know, like he was a person. And he was simply tuning in to what Father was doing. But he obviously had perfect obedience and moved in perfect authority. He's calling us into being obedient and doing what he did. And that, I think, is what it means to begin partnering with the Holy Spirit. So you might find yourself commanding disease to leave, declaring healing to come, calling things into alignment, delivering from a spirit in Jesus' name. I never presume to try and deliver anything in my name, that's for sure. But I will just say, and in Jesus' name, fear be gone. And sometimes it's a demonstrable thing and people go, whoa, and something happens to them in that instant. And other times you wouldn't even know. It just got out of there, slipped out under the door, I don't care. I had a friend who used to see what happened. That used to blow me away. he would minister to people in ways, and he would do this thing, and he'd be praying and saying words at something, and he's looking at the person, and then he'd be looking at his list because he'd written a few things down that he sensed God was going to be saying. And I quizzed him after. I said, "John, when you were doing this and this and this," and I said, "do you see something when things leave?" "Oh yeah, don't you?" He said, he hadn't been a Christian very long at all. This, you know, I was so envious. how do you get to see that? But he just did. God gave him. I said, "Well, what happens?" He said, "Well, most of the time I see something leave from the orifices, out the eyes, out the mouth, out the ears, or lift off the shoulders." "Really?" I said, "Yeah. And what happens to them?" He said, "Oh, they're just out the window, out the door." And I know that's done. I can move on to the next thing. I take a big breath and say, "Whoa, I love that." that hasn't been my experience. But the other ways, which you just kind of sense and know that God is really doing something, hadn't intended to go there, but look, you might find yourself being bold. Yeah? That's the difference. That's the difference. Again, I ask you to read the book of Acts, and whenever Luke, recording what he saw, the difference was Holy Spirit boldness. It was almost inconsequential whether they fell over or they prayed in tongues. Great experience for the individual to know that there's power of God about. But the really consequential thing is what happened next. They were just full of boldness because it was the Spirit of God moving in them. I believe that's what God wants to do in and through all of us. The only words that make a difference are the ones that come from God. So practice the pause and speak as you are led. Hey, David, they've been listening to me for a while, mate. Do you want... Welcome, David. Same question, mate. Have you got a for instance of Holy Spirit partnering?
Thanks. Good to share with you. One is just last year we had the conference where Putty Putman came, and he invited us to a few people to come and stand at the front, and he just invited the Holy Spirit to come and invited the kingdom to be active. And Rob Carter was one of the first ones that became very evident that the Holy Spirit was working in his life, and we observed the presence in breaking of the Holy Spirit into Rob's life, and he began to shake and he began to crumble at the knees, and it was very evident on him. I know you were. But it was very visible. We could see the kingdom of God breaking in to him and to several other people. Dione was there as well. And their bodies were responding to the Holy Spirit. So it was like the now kingdom present work of the Holy Spirit was active in their bodies. And they responded to what God was doing. And Putty very carefully taught us and showed us how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in seeing more of the Holy Spirit coming and working in their lives at that time. And that was fantastic. One of the other things I've experienced, and this was many years ago when I was living in Texas in the USA, and I was being taught about the now present of the Holy Spirit, and I had not had that teaching in my background, didn't understand that at all. But as I was learning to do this, one of the people who was discipling me at that time talked about how when we gather together and pray for somebody, we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in our imagination. And so I was inviting the Holy Spirit to show me in my imagination, in my thinking, what he wanted for this person. So this was a young lady who was at training school, and she was. We were just praying for her. I knew nothing about her, didn't know who she was, and we were just laying hands on her and just praying and waiting on the Holy Spirit, like Rob just said, just wait and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. And into my mind popped this picture, and in my thoughts there was this picture of this sort of field, and there was this fence, and on one side was brown grass, and the other side was really rich green grass. And at the fence was this little sheep looking on the brown dead grass side, looking through at the green grass. And I went, "Oh, that's an interesting picture." And I just said to this young lady, I said, "I just had this picture in my mind of this sheep standing at a fence looking across the other side of the green grass. Does that mean anything to you?" And she just went, "Mah!" burst into tears and said, "How did you know?" I said, "No, what?" She said, "That's me. It's exactly how I am." I had no idea that that was what was going on inside her life. But God picked it and showed me a picture of what described her, and it just nailed her. And God just said out loud what's going on in her heart and said he knew all about her, and he just wanted to tell her that he knew what was happening in her heart. And so we prayed for her and asked for God to bless her, and that really impacted her life. And that was one of those first instances for me of experiencing God breaking into my mind for somebody else to bless them.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you've got a Bible and you want to just flick this chapter open, this is where we were last week. And I introduced this as saying in chapter 25 of Matthew, there are three parables. And this is the second of the three parables that Jesus told to illustrate that the kingdom of God, what it would be like at his return, at the end of the age. Because the disciples in chapter 24 have been saying, is this the end of the age? When are you coming back? What's it all about? And to answer their question, he told three parables. This is the second of them. And since we have no idea when the end of the age will be, because Jesus said we won't know, as much as a lot of people want to tell us when it is, but we won't. We're not meant to know. Just be ready. Jesus teaches, and that's what the first parable was all about, be ever ready. Be in a state of anticipation. Have your lamps full. And so the first parable was about 10 bridesmaids, 5 of them with their lamps full, 5 of them didn't have any oil in their lamps. And so when we were thinking about being filled with the Spirit last week, it was to, let's top us up with the oil, the oil of God, so that we're ready. And so we asked Father to fill us. Here, verses 14 following, Jesus tells a story of a property owner. I'm not going to read the text, just leaving you with your Bibles open, and you, many of us will know the story at least. Property owner goes on a journey, entrusts his property to his servants according to their ability. And he gives talents, 5, 2, and 1 were given. And the one with 5 and the one with 2 put the money to work and they doubled the talents. The one with just 1 talent buried it because he said, I knew you were a bit of a hard person and you know, I was a bit scared and you know, so I just buried it in the ground. And we know from this story that this servant suffered quite a rebuke for not at least banking his 1 talent to earn a bit of interest. Doesn't mean much to us today, does it? I don't get any interest these days, but we understand. What was Jesus' point? I think a really key point is that burying our gifts is disobedience. And since each member of the body belongs to the others, Romans chapter 12 makes that so clear. Every member, every one of you, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're in this. You have a part to play. Some of you have many parts to play. It's all according to abilities or whatever Father's chosen to do. But he's given us parts to be playing in the body. And obedience, which I know I'm looking at people who all want to be obedient to Jesus, our obedience is to employ what we've been given, what he's put in our hands. And because it is to do with a body life thing, we have an obligation to contribute, to exercise or employ our gifts. Following the Spirit, employing the Spirit's gifts, learning to follow the leading of the Spirit and practice employing the gifts of the Spirit in the mission of the kingdom. Hearing, seeing what the Holy Spirit is doing and joining in. It does mean living on the edge. This is a risky life Jesus calls us into. We even easily want to domesticate it. Maybe not consciously, but we even want to easily want to just say, oh Lord, that's a bit scary. I don't know that I want to do that. And yet in your heart of hearts, you do know that you want to be, you're ready to be. And I'm always amazed that God has ordained it so that we get to be players, be a player part with him in seeing the kingdom being worked out. Risking what God has put in your hands, what you have, your talent, saying what you're prompted to say, venturing a word of encouragement in the way that David's described, it just came into his head, imagination, there it was. It just may be prophetic. It might be a word of knowledge, knowing something about a person or a situation that you couldn't have otherwise known, that speaks life into people's lives. You see, so much about the kingdom of God is voice activated. We've got so many devices that are voice activated. I just like this phrase. So much about the kingdom of God is voice activated, yeah? And Jesus is saying, open your mouths. So often, say it, go on. And if you know that it's encouraging, it's comforting, it's offering support in some way, then say it. And who knows, you might have been prophetic. Who knows, you might have ministered life by daring to speak. Father's question is to us all. He's not really going to ask us those questions. He's just going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. But in a way, while we're still here and doing this, he's saying, will you be faithful with what you've been given? And I think we all want to say yes to that. Lord, I want to be faithful with what you've put in my hands. I want to see it being expressed and used to see your kingdom come more and more.